Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Chof Aleph. We begin 7 lines from the top, Chof Aleph Omid Aleph, with the words Omar Rava. Rava tells us the following interesting din. Omar Rava, Kosav lo get unisono biyad avdo. A man writes a get to his wife, and he gives the get to his eved. Now, an eved can't be a shaliach. However, the kosav lo shtar matana alav. He then presents the eved as a present to his wife. The eved's holding on to the get, and now the wife is given the eved. In this situation, Rava tells us, kinasu. She, in fact, acquires the eved, and while she gets the eved, umiskareshes bo, she also acquires the get. It's as if the husband who's giving her the eved is also, in essence, giving her the get at the same time, and she acquires both the eved and, as a result, her gittin at the same exact time. That's what Rava says. More questions. It says, how come? Vamai. After all, chotzer mehalechasi. This eved is her property, but it's a movable property. It's a chotzer, it's her rishus, the eved, that is, however, able to walk. And the rule is, v'chotzer mehalechas lo kana. If you have a courtyard that moves, in other words, you have something that physically can move, it can acquire it for you through the normal rules of a courtyard acquiring something for you. A courtyard can acquire something for you. When the husband throws the get into the wife's courtyard, her courtyard acquires it for her. That's because the courtyard can't move. But a chotzer mehalechas, the eved, we're calling a courtyard, but he's a moving courtyard. And therefore, chotzer mehalechas lo kana. Rashi explains, v'ibe maskol kinasu, he says, the eved is now with the get in his hand, the havalei hai eved kichatzera. That eved is like her chotzer. V'gita v'chatzera ba lo kiyechad, but however, here, this is a chotzer mehalechas. The next Rashi, the chiyomer rabban l'chatzera shaladum kona lo, when the rabbi said that your chotzer can acquire something on your behalf, they were only talking about a stationary chotzer, a real courtyard. Lav b'chotzer mehalechas, but not a moving courtyard like the eved is essentially. Because the shiny mikarkoi, the naide, mimakoi the lo naide, you can't learn out the moving courtyard from the stationary courtyard. V'rava gufei omra de lo kani b'shnayim ochazim. And Rava himself was the one that said this then. So how can it possibly be that the eved in this situation is able to be kone, the get that's in his hand on behalf of the woman, because he is a moving courtyard. So it's an internal kasha on Rava. Are you going to tell me, the Gemara says, v'chitema ba'omer, the eved standing still, so he's not moving? But Rava himself was the one that said that that's no good. The Gemara in Bava Tzia tells us, v'amar Rava, kol she'ilu mahalech lo kana, omer v'yoshiv lo kana. If he was moving, he wouldn't be able to acquire it. So too, we view this over here as if he's moving, even though he's standing still, because he could move. So again, Rava seems to be contradicting himself. Elsewhere he says that the eved is considered a chotzer mehalechas even if he's standing still. And yet, over here, he says that the eved can be kone, even though an eved chotzer mehalechas is not normally kone. So Rava says, you know what we're dealing with over here? The hilchasa bekofos. We're dealing with the eino roi lehalech, Rashi says. He's physically tied up. And therefore, he cannot move. Therefore, in this situation where the eved is tied up, Gemara elsewhere also adds that he's also asleep. So this way, his shmira on himself isn't himself. The shmira is on somebody else. But in any event, for now, the hilchasa bekofos. We're talking here that he is tied up and cannot move. In this situation, Rava would say that this chotzer mehalechas is not called a chotzer mehalechas. This is called a stationary, like karka type of a chotzer, and therefore the eved could be kone, the get, on behalf of being the courtyard of the wife. So therefore, when the husband gives the eved to the wife as a present, she is also kone, everything in that, quote, courtyard, in other words, the get that is the eved is holding. Rava says another din, v'yomer Rava, kosav lo get unisono b'chatzero. Here in this situation, we have a real courtyard. The husband writes his wife a get and places it into his courtyard. And then he writes a shtar to give that courtyard to his wife because of lo shtar matano olav. And in that situation, Rava says, kunasu. Again, via her acquiring this courtyard, she acquires everything in the courtyard. Here it's a stationary courtyard. Here there's no problem about chotzer mehalechas. This is a real case of her chotzer acquiring it on her behalf. And therefore, when the husband gives the wife the courtyard via this shtar, so she acquires the courtyard, she acquires everything in it, and as if the husband actually gave her the get, and therefore, umiskareshes bo. This woman acquires it and is considered megureshes based upon this principle. Now, what is Rava being mechadish over here? Isn't this, after all, the same exact case as the eved? Why did Rava tell us this case of the stationary courtyard once he taught us the case of the stationary eved, the eved that was kofos, he's tied up? What did he have to teach us this other din for? So Gemara says tricha, because each one has a chiddush that you wouldn't know from the other. So the yashminun eved, if you only told us the case of the eved, so I would have said hava mina dafke eved. I would have said that this only applies in regards to an eved, but it doesn't apply to the courtyard. Abu chotzer, no. Now why not? Why shouldn't it also apply to the chotzer? Because I would have said we should make a gzeira ligzar mishum chatzero habali achar mikan. Now what is this case of chatzero habali achar mikan? So this is an interesting case. Rashi explains, Kigon, for example, Nosan lo get b'chotzer chaveiro. What happens is Reuven puts the get into Shimon's courtyard. Now, he did his action. He gave this get into Shimon's courtyard. Then, v'holach ba'al chotzer, then Shimon went, u'mochar lo es chotzer o nosan lo b'matana. Shimon then went and took this courtyard and gave it either to Reuven's wife as a matana, or she bought it from him. So now, in this situation, v'hovadai ain't a migureshes. She is not considered migureshes because who actually was migarisher over here? It was Shimon that gave the get. Now, he wasn't acting as a shliach on behalf of Reuven, and therefore, when Shimon gives her the get, that's worthless. Demand the migarish law. Who's giving her the get in this situation? Kishenosan habal haget b'chotzer lo shalohi. So when Reuven put the get into Shimon's courtyard, he didn't give it yet to his wife. It's in Shimon's courtyard. He didn't tell Shimon, now go give it to my wife. If he was a shliach on his behalf, that would work. But in this situation, he didn't say that you should go and acquire this get for my wife, go and bring it to her. No. He just went and sold it to her, gave it to her separately as a present, and therefore he is not considered giving it to her. So in this situation, Mishum Chatzeira Habor Li Achar Mikan, the courtyard came into her possession after the husband had given it to that other courtyard, that would be no good. So therefore, you might have thought you should make a gzera. We don't allow the husband to actually give the get to his wife in his courtyard, and then give the courtyard to his wife via shtar, and he gives it to her as a present. That should not work as a gezeira, because if you allow that to work, maybe you'll allow it when he gives it to the Shimon's courtyard, and then Shimon will give it to her, and that's not the same thing. So therefore, you might have thought you should make a gezeira. Oh, we don't. So that's why you have to tell us that case. No, just tell us the case of the chotzer, and then I'll know the case of the eved. But yeah, Shmin chotzer, if you tell me the case of the chotzer, I would have said, Hava mina dafka chotzer. I would have said, no, this din only applies by a chotzer, because the husband has the right to give this chotzer to his wife. It's one action, it's a stationary chotzer, and there's no reason to make a gzeira. I will eved, in regard to the eved, we said that had to be a case talking about the eved was tied up, because the eved was unable to move. We essentially made that eved, who's normally a chotzer mehaleches, into a stationary chotzer. So I might have thought, by the case of the eved, we should make a gzeira. Ligzar kofus, or tusheino kofus. I might have said that we wouldn't allow the eved to go and acquire it for the behalf of the wife when the wife acquires the eved because of a concern. If we allow it with the eved kofos, we'll mistakenly think that he can do it with the eved that's not kofos. He's not tied up. Oh, kamash v'lan. That's why Rava had to tell us both cases. Each of them had an aspect that we might have said only applies in that case, but wouldn't apply to the other cases. Well, therefore, Rava told us both cases. Okay. That's Rava's din, and Abaye now questions it. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, I don't understand, Rava. Michti, let's take a look at your din. Chotzer mehechos rabbi. Where do we learn the din that a chotzer is able to acquire something for a person? It's learned out miyodot. Pasuk says that he has to go and put the get in her hand. V'nosan biyodot. And then, v'shulcho mi beiso. So this pasuk, v'nosan biyodot, he has to put it in her hand, and then v'shulcho mi beiso. That's how the get works. So chotzer, where do we learn out chotzer? The din, the chotzer acquires it on behalf. It's rabbe, it's learned out, mi yada, from this din. Now, how does yada work? My yada, the wife's hand, when she gets the get, the isa, it applies, bein midaita ubein ba'al karcha. It applies whether she willingly accepts it, or if the husband throws it into her lap, he throws it into her hands. So she has to accept it. At least, midaraisa, a woman can be divorced bal karcha, against her will. Midarabbanan, the rabbis have changed that around and said a woman cannot be divorced bal karcha anymore. In any event, midaraisa, the din is that the husband can divorce his wife whether she accepts the get willingly or she doesn't accept the get willingly. Once it comes into her hand, she is considered divorced. And therefore, if chatzera is learned out from miyada, so chatzera, Abaye says, has to have the same dinim. Al chatzera, therefore, the isa bein midaita ubein bal karcha. So her courtyard has to be able to accept the get on her behalf, whether it's intentionally, she's willing to accept it, or even if she's unintending to accept it, she doesn't want to accept it, it's bal karcha. Nevertheless, it will accept it on her behalf. Now, Here's the problem, Abai says to Rabba. V'ha-matana, in this situation, where the husband is giving this courtyard to his wife as a matana, guess what? She says, I don't want that matana. I don't want to get divorced. So she says, I'm not accepting the matana. So she has the right to do that. So, midaita isa, balkoncha lesa. If she says, thank you very much for giving me this courtyard, I know I now acquired the get, so then she's divorced. But since, theoretically, she could say, I'm not taking your present, and therefore, she doesn't acquire the courtyard, and therefore, he's not able to divorce her, Baal Karcha. So therefore, in this situation, Abaye tells Rava, your analogy is not correct, because a get has to be able to be given against her will. And in this situation with the Matana, it's not being given against her will. So that's what Abaye says, I have a problem with your Shita, Rava. Maskepala Rav Simi Barashi. Rav Simi Barashi says, no, Abaye, you're wrong. He says, V'ho shlichos l'kabala d'midaita isa Baal Karcha lesa. He says, in regards to making a shaliach for a Kabbalah, the wife has the right to go and make a shaliach to go and accept her get. But it can only be done with her permission. You can't make a shaliach li Kabbalah against her will. The husband can make a shaliach to go and be his arm, to go and present the get to her. He doesn't want to travel to where she is, so he designs a shaliach and says, you go. He designates a shaliach. You go and you give it on my behalf. The husband can do that. And then that shaliach can give it Baal Karcha. But you can't go and assign a man to accept the get on her behalf against her will. Therefore, shlichos lekabala, for her to go and assign a shliach to accept the get, that's only the midaita isa. That's only if she says, yes, I'm designating Yankel over here to go and accept the get on my behalf. So if she does so, then Yankel can accept it on her behalf, but you can't force her to go and have Yankel accept the get on her behalf. She said, I don't want Yankel to accept the get on my behalf. You want to give me a get, you got to give it to me. So Baal Karcha Lesa. So therefore, Simi Barashi says, nevertheless, to Kahavi Shliach LeKabbalah. Yet we still have this concept of making a Shliach LeKabbalah, even though Baal Karcha doesn't work. So too, he tells Abaye, why are you saying that you can't accept the courtyard to be her Shliach? Automatically, when she acquires the courtyard, she acquires the get, because there is an aspect of Baal Karcha to it. Big deal. We don't need that aspect of Baal Karcha. Just like we allow a get for her to be Makabal, it can only be done with her will. So too, even though she can only accept this courtyard if she wishes to, nevertheless, it still can work. If she does accept it, that the get inside of it will actually be Megarisha. So therefore, Rav Simi Barashi questions Abaye. But Abaye would answer back. Abaye, what would he say? Atu shlichus miyadois rabbe? He says, no, you have it wrong. We don't learn out shlichos, that the woman can make a shaliach to accept the get on her behalf, from this din of miyada. We learn out chatzera miyada, but we don't learn out shlichos from miyada. Where do we learn out shlichos? From the pasuk where it says, unosam miyada vishilcha mibeiso. So in this situation, the vishilcha is an X word. It could have said vishilach. Instead, it said vishilcha, that she is sent out. She no longer lives with her husband. So it's that extra word, vishilcha, instead of vishilach. That's where we learn out that she's allowed to go and make a shaliach on her behalf of Kabbalah. And therefore, it has nothing to do with yada, chatzera, yada. And therefore, the two dinim are separate. And therefore, Abaye's question, he says, is a good question. There you need to be able to accept Baal Karcha. And she has the right to reject the present. And therefore, it's not Baal Karcha. So that's the first answer that Abaye would give to Rav Simi Barashi. There's another answer you could give. Even if you wanted to say that he learns it out from Yada, the Shlichus is from Yada. Nevertheless, Shlichus LeKabbalah, Nami Ashuchon Baal Karcha. Nevertheless, we can see that there is a case where Shlichus can be forced upon her, even against her will, and therefore, it's not a problem. Why is that? Because Shekein Av, her father, is allowed and capable, Makabel get Lebituk Tana Baal Karcha. The woman thinks she's happily married, she's 11 years old, she's still a Ktana, and what happens? The husband says, no, I don't want to stay married with you anymore, and he gives her a get, so she doesn't want to accept the get, but he gives it to her father, and therefore, since she is a Ktana, the father still has the right to go and accept the get on her behalf, even though it's Baal Karcha. She's screaming, no, don't take it, don't take it. And nevertheless, the get is able to be accepted on her behalf by her father, since she's a Ktana. And therefore, here's an example where even the Shlichus can be Baal Karcha. As opposed to, in the case of the Matana, the woman has the right to say, no, I don't wish to accept the Matana. And therefore, you can't force that upon her Baal Karcha. So therefore, Abaye's question is a good question on Rav. Okay. We go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Al Ha'ole Shozayis Uchule. We said that if a man wrote a divorce document on the leaf of an olive tree, and this leaf was no longer attached to the tree, it was detached, so then we said that it's acceptable. And the Mishnah said, v'chule, it said, well, if you wrote it on the horn of a cow, so in that situation, it also is acceptable. In both situations, you had to give her the olive leaf, and you had to give her the cow, or the slave, when you wrote it on his hand. In all of these situations, as long as there was nothing in between, as the Gemara will tell us, there was, he wrote it, the Kosav, and then the Nasan, there was no intervening action that separated the Kosav and the Nasan. It's a perfectly good get. Now the Gemara says, Bishlomo Yad the Eved, we understand why the husband can't just give the hand of the Eved to the wife, he has to give the whole Eved to the wife. And we turn to Chof Aleph Amud Beis, because Lo Efshar Lebiksayi, because, as Rashi points out, the Shayach Mitzvos, the Eved, is obligated in all the Mitzvos like a woman. Veino Rashai L'chavobo, and it's also to go and damage him by cutting off his hand. And in fact, Vim Chavobo, if you do cut off his hand, so then that's one of the ways that an Eved goes out free. An Eved Kenani goes out with the dinim of Shein V'ayin. If you knock out his tooth, you knock out his eye, you cut off various limbs, so Yotzei L'cheirus B'Rashi Evarim. He goes out if you knock out any of his limbs. So if you cut off his arm, so then he goes free. And therefore, Amo Eino Rashai L'chavobo. Therefore, you're not letting go and cut off his arm. So in this situation, obviously the husband has to go and be giving the entire Eved over, and when he gives the entire Eved over, so then the wife acquires the Eved and the get at the same time. However, Elo Keren Shalpara, with the horn of the cow, why don't we say he wrote it on the horn of the cow while it was attached to the cow? Not that it was detached from the cow. He wrote it while it was attached to the cow. He then cut off the horn. There's no issur in cutting off the animal's horn. And then, Liktsayi, you cut it off, V'leisila, and give it to her after you wrote it. So why do you have to have the ksiva followed immediately by the nesina? Why don't you have the ksiva, then cut off the keren, and then go and do the nesina? Why is that no good? So Gemara says, based upon the psukim, Amakra, as I've already pointed out, the pasuk says with kosav, you have to write it, and then nothing else can be separating from the nasan. You have to then give it to her. So the kosav, the nasan law, it has to be with nothing else in between. So the kosav, let's say for krisos, the nasan law, and you have to go and give it to her with no intervening action. In other words, mish eino mechusar, something cannot be lacking other than Elo Kesiva Nesina. You have to write it and give it. There's not going to be anything in between. And therefore, if you were to go and have to cut off the horn in between, Yotzazet, this would therefore not allow Shemachusar Kesiva Ketzitza Unesina, because it'd be another intervening act called Ketzitza, cutting off the horn. And you're not allowed to have anything intervening because of Lo Sefer Krisus and the Nasan Law. So therefore, you can't have any action intervening. And that's why the leaf as well has to be a detached leaf, because otherwise if you wrote it on the attached leaf and then you cut it off, so then there would be kitsitsa in between. In all of these situations, there can't be anything in between the kosav and the nosav. Then we quote the Mishnah, it said, Rav Yosef Yigli said, in addition to not being able to have anything in between, he held that you're not allowed to go and write a get on a bal chai, on an animal, or on an ochel, on any type of a food. So he argues with Tanakama, this olish ozayis, which is food for an animal, he wouldn't allow that. The bal chai eved, or the bal chai cow, he wouldn't allow those to be given. So he argues with the Tanakama. Mor says, what's his rationale? My time of the Ryosei Glili, why doesn't Ryosei Glili allow it to be a food item or a living creature? So the Gemara says, because the Tanya, we learn in the Brisa, the Torah tells us that you have to write for kosav lo sefer krisus. It says sefer. Ela sefer, that tells me it must be a document. It must be a parchment, a shtar. Minayin l'rabos kol davar. How do we know that you can write it on something other than a parchment, on a cloth? So the Gemara says, because the pasuk says, Talmud Lomar, the kosav law implies any type of a document. Mikol mokom. It's Rashi says, midelo kosav the nosan sefer krisus biyoda. It says the kosav law sefer krisus. It doesn't say kosav inosan. It just says the kosav. It implies mikol makum. Any type of a writing on any type of object would be good. Oh, if that's the case, so imkain matam loma sefer. If you're telling me sefer originally meant a parchment, now because of law comes to remove it from being a parchment, it can be anything. So then, why did the Torah say sefer? So the Gemara says in this situation, you need the word sefer. Ma sefer teaching us dover shein baruah chayim veino ochel. Oh, this is where Yosef Glili comes along and tells us that it has to be somewhat like a sefer, and that it can't be a living being. It can't be a creature like an eved or a cow, and it can't be ochel. It can't be something like an alish or zayis. It can't be a food item. And therefore, av kol dover shein baruah chayim veino ochel, it can't be anything that falls into that category of Ruach Chaim or Ocha. So that's what you need the word Sefer for, according to Rav Yosef Glili. So no, obviously, what do the Rabbanan do with that word Sefer, Rabbanan? They say, Ikasiv Besefer. If you had said, Vikosav Lo Basefer Krisus, so then we would understand it exactly like Rav Yosef Glili did. Besefer or Basefer would teach us that you must have something that's not a Ruach Chaim or an Ochel. Kidikamis, exactly as Rav Yosef Glili said, but that's not what it said. It says, because of law, Sefer Krisus, Hashna Dechsiv Sefer, that comes to teach us that it must be L'Sfiras Dvarim Hudiyosa, that you only get divorced via Sfiras Dvarim, by stating what is going on over here. It has to be a written type of a statement, but Lav Davka, that it can't be on a Bal Chai or an Ochel. And that's the point of contention between the Rabbanon and Rav Yosef Glili. No, granted that they're saying that's what the word Sefer comes to teach us, but once the Sefer comes to teach us that it has to be something written down, it can be written down on anything, even a Bal Chai or an Ochel, so then, why did the Rabbanon need the word Bekosav? The Rabbanon, hi, Bekosav, my Ovile. The word Kosav now seems to be unnecessary. Once you're telling me it has to be a Sefer, it has to be something written down, so then why do you need Bekosav? So Mar says, no, the Chacham needed, mi boy luhu, Biksiva miskareshes, veino miskareshes bekesef. This comes to teach us that it must be something that is written down, not just the Sefer Krisus, but it must be something that is ksav, as opposed to money. In other words, a woman could be married with money, so you might have thought she could be divorced with money. You give her a ring and you marry her, you give her a ring and you divorce her. You give her a shava pruta and you marry her, maybe you give her a shava pruta and you divorce her. That's what I might have thought. If we just had the word Sefer, that's what I would have said. That's one way to do it. But there's another way to do it with money. So, I would have said, Akish, we make a hekish between Yitzio Lahavoya. Going out is coming in. The same way that you come in, that's the way you go out. So, Kiddushin and Gerushin would be effectuated in the same way. Mahavoya bekesef. Just like you can marry a woman with kesef, give her a ring, you give her a shavah pruta, so too, I might have thought, af yitzia nami bekesef, that you give a woman a shavah pruta, Rashi says, and you say, with this shavah pruta, you're divorced. I might have thought that that's good. Kamash malon, that is no good. You have to do it biksav. So therefore, ksav, and that ksav could be on any type of a sefer, that's a chachamim shita. That's what they do with the word kosav and with the word sefer. Nu, the kasha now on Riosia Glili, v'idach, how does he know that you can't do this hekish and say, just like you were brought into the marriage with a shava pruta, you could be divorced from the marriage with a shava pruta. So he learns that out. Nafkale, it says, mi sefer kirisos. It's sefer korso, the dover acher korso. It's the sefer that effectuates this divorce, and the sefer, and only the sefer, is the way that you have the krisos. The shava kesef, it won't function to do the krisos. So that's how he negates the hekish. No, we now throw that back on the Chachamim. Why don't they learn it out from Sefer Krisus? V'idach, what do the Chachamim do with the word Sefer Krisus? They need it, Miboyele, to teach us the following halacha. Dovra kores beino leveino. It must be something that absolutely cuts, severs the relationship between the husband and the wife. There can't be any residual relationship there. Kidatanya, as we learned in the following Brisa. The Brisa teaches us, this is from Gemara Yuma and Kedushin and other places as well, later in the Masechta, where it says, Hareze Gitech, if a man gives a get to his wife, and he says, this is your get, however, Almanas Shalotish Deyayin, that you're not allowed to drink wine anymore in your life, or Almanas Shalotelch Lebeis Avich, or that you're never allowed to go to your father's house again. And he says the words Leolam. He doesn't say for a 10-day period of time, a temporary period of time. He says, you can never drink wine. You can never go to your father's house. This is the get. So he says, Leolam, so that's not considered Sefer Krisus. It doesn't make a severance. It doesn't abrogate the relationship. She is still connected to him because she can't drink wine. She cannot go to her father's house, and therefore, Ein Zeh Krisus. So the Chachamim need this Sefer Krisus today. It has to be a total severing. If there's any connectivity left, so then it's not called a severing. Therefore, if he were to say, you're not allowed to drink wine for 30 days, you're not allowed to go to your father's house for 30 days, at Shloshim Yom, that would be Harezer Krisus, because that's a temporary thing. That's like putting a tznai on it. So that would be a good save for Krisus, because after the 30-day period of time, she's allowed to drink wine, she'd go to her father. But if he says the Olam, so that's not a severance of their relationship, and therefore, that's why the Chacham need the word save for Krisus to teach us this. So obviously, the question now is, that's a very important din. Where does Rav Yosef HaGlili learn that din? After all, the Idach, Rav Yosef HaGlili, How does he know that this has to be a total abrogation of their relationship, a total severance of relationship? V'idach, so Rav Yosef Lili, he learns it out, instead of saying sefer kares, it says sefer krisus. So the word krisus can imply both things. It can imply that it's sefer karsav, ein davar achar karsav, like Rav Yosef Lili said, that's how he learns out that you don't do the hekesh of havaya and yitzia, and therefore the word krisus one time, because it didn't say karis, it says krisus, one time it teaches us that only the sefer and not money is going to cause the severance. And by the fact that it says krisus, this plural lashon, it also teaches us the idea that it has to be a total severance. Ah, so that's Rav Yosef Lili. He learns out very well. Why don't the Chachamim learn out two things from the word krisus? So the Chachamim, v'idach, they hold no, karis krisus lo darshe. They don't hold that that's an extra drasha. They say the word sefer krisus is talking in general about krisus, about severance. And that's all you can learn from it. But not to learn out that sefer karsav and dover achar karsav, that they need the word kosav to teach us that. Okay, so we reconciled how Rav Yosef Glili and the Chum each learned the psukim. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, "Ein kosvim b'mechubel karka." A person is not allowed to write a get on something that's attached to the ground, as we just pointed out in the previous Gemara, because you need the kosav lo sefer krisus v'nasan b'yoda. He has to go and give it to her, and there can't be anything intervening between the ksiva and the giving. Now, our Mishnah says that ain kozim b'mechubel karka. You can't write it on something that's attached to the ground because there'll be something intervening. That's what the Reish of the Mishnah says, but then it seems to say the opposite. Kisabo b'mechubel, if you wrote it while it was attached, and then you uprooted it to Lasha, you detached it, and then chasama, then you signed it unesan Allah, and then you give it to her. It is kosher. So obviously, there's a contradiction here between the first statement in this Mishnah and the second statement in the Mishnah. And Rashi says the Gemara will explain how to reconcile this contradiction. Okay, we'll get to that in a moment, the Gemara. Bottom line is, it's kosher if you uprooted it and then signed it afterwards and then gave it to her, that'd still be a kosher get, albeit bidi evet. Now, review the post. Review the says, no, it's no good unless actually Rav Yehuda says, the Tana Rav Yehuda says that it's not a valid get unless the entire get was written while it was detached from the ground. So you have this Ali Shulzayis, it has to be detached from the ground when you write the get, when you sign the get, and then when you give it to her, there's nothing intervening, and that's a kosher get. But if part of it was written while it was in the ground, still attached to the ground, so then it's no good. We'll have to understand what the machlokas is between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda when we get to the Gemara. Then we have the opinion of Rav Yehuda Meseira. Reviewed in Misera Omer, Ein Kotsvin, Lo Al-Haniyar Hamachuk. Reviewed in Misera tells us you're not allowed to go and write a document, a get, on a piece of paper that had been erased previously, because, as we'll see in a second, you won't be able to tell if it's erased again. Once something is erased, so you can't tell that it was erased two times versus one time. And therefore, people could go and make all sorts of changes in this. They leave the signatures of the witnesses at the bottom. They make changes in the get. It would look like those witnesses signed to those changes, when in fact they didn't. So, Ein Kosav Rehuda Ben Sarah says, Al Niyar Hamachuk, on a document that had already been erased, because you won't be able to tell additional erasures on it. As opposed to if it's a pristine document, it never had been erased. It's a pristine piece of paper, so then any erasures you'll be able to tell. Likewise, Rehuda Ben Sarah says, you're not allowed to write it on diftera, below Al HaDiftera. We'll learn in the Gemara exactly what diftera is. There are different components of a high. You have the high that can be split in the middle, and then you'll have an external and an internal component of the external part, and you'll have an external and an internal component of the inner half. So there's actually four sides to the potential hide of an animal, not just the side that's facing the skin and the side that's facing the internal organs, but when you cut that in half, you then have two additional faces. So there's total four faces, and we'll discuss exactly what difter is when we get to the Gemara. So Rehuda Meir says that you can't write it on a niyar mahuk, and you can't write it on diftera, because each of these could be forged, because you could erase on them and not recognize it. As the Mishnah tells us, when neishu yochol is diet, because they could easily be forged on them, because you won't detect erasures. However, the Chachamim Achshirim, the Chachamim say, no, this is valid, and we'll have to again wait till we get to the Gemara to discuss this in tomorrow's Shir. Now, the Gemara starts now and addresses the first question that I pointed out. The Mishnah opened up and it said, Ein kosav b'mechubel karka, you're not allowed to write when it's attached to the ground. And then it says, but if you wrote when it was attached to the ground and you detached it and signed it, once it was detached, it's good. So it's a stira. Kisavu ala mechubar, we said, is no good. But then you say, v'amris reisha, ein kosav, and then you write that it's good. So what's going on over here? The reisha, the first line of the Mishnah is contradicted by the second line of the Mishnah. So Gemara says two ways to go and reconcile the seeming stira. So Amr Yehuda Amr Shmuel, the first one is Yehuda Amr Shmuel saying the reason why it's good if you detached it and then signed it is Vahu Shashir Mokam Atorv. When we wrote it, when it was attached, you only wrote the tofus. The tofus is the quote standard part of the get that just tells you what a get does, but it doesn't tell you who was divorcing who. So the Toref is not been written down. The Toref is that Yankel divorced Sarah on such and such a day, and that's the Toref of the get. So therefore, the Toref wasn't written down. So Bidyevit, if you didn't write down the Toref, you just wrote down the Tofes. And Shir Mokum HaToref, you left space for the Toref. When you detached it, you then write the Toref and sign it. So then in that situation, it is acceptable, albeit Bidyevit. You shouldn't have done that. Now, this opinion that Reuven Amar Shmuel says is also by Rebbe Elazar Amar Yoshaya. V'chenam Rebbe Elazar Amar Rebbe Yoshaya. And likewise, the Hushashia Mikom HaTorf. He says, as long as you didn't fill in the entire Torah, so bid the evidence good. Ideally, you should write even the Tofes when it's attached, detached from the ground. Don't write anything when it's attached to the ground. But bid the evidence, if you wrote the Tofes while it's attached, you then detached it. Both Yudam Shmuel and Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yoshaya say that that is what the Mishnah is talking about. Bid the evidence, as long as you didn't write down the Torah, so when you detach it, you write the Torah, even though the Tofes was written when it was attached, it's acceptable. And not only that, also V'chein Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Amar Yochanan. This was also said over the name by Rabba Bar Bar Chana, name of Yochanan. So we have Shmuel, we have Rebbe Yoshaya, and we have Rebbe Yochanan all saying this teretz. This is a perfectly acceptable way to learn the Mishnah. Now, how does this work? Why did they say that this is acceptable? Because this goes in accordance with the sheet of Rabbi Elazar. We've said this many times already. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir have a famous machlokas. Rabbi Meir says, "Eide chasim karsi." For Rabbi Elazar, he the Amar Eide mesira karsi. That Rabbi Elazar holds that it's the witnesses who give it over that effectuate the get. Now, you do have to have a kasav law. You have to have a get written down. But writing down the get, signing the get, that's not what effectuates the get. It's the Eide mesira, the two witnesses that observe, the husband giving it to the wife. That's what effectuates the get. And therefore, this is how Shmuel, Rav Hoshaya, and Rav Yochanan all learn the Mishnah. Ein kosrin tofes l'chadchila, you shouldn't write the tofes while it's attached to the ground. Because Shema yichtov toref. If you wrote the tofes, you may not stop there. You may continue writing the rest of the toref while it's attached to the ground. And that would be a problem. But bid the evit, kisav l'tofes. If you did do what you shouldn't have done, you wrote the tofes, but that doesn't ruin it. As long as bid the evit utalasho, you then uprooted it, you then wrote ksavu l'toref, you write the toref and the signatures, of course, unasanala, and then you gave it, the husband gives it to the wife, that would be bid the evit a kosher get. And that's how you understand the first two lines of the Mishnah, they're not contradictory. So that's learning the Mishnah in accord with the Shita of Rabbi Elazar, Eidei Mesira Karsi. Reish Lakish says you could learn it even according to the Shita of Rav Meir as well. Reish Lakish Amar, I don't necessarily disagree with you, but you could not davka have to say that our Mishnah goes according to Rav Elazar, Eide Mesira Karsi. In fact, our Mishnah could be like Rav Meir. In fact, Chasamo Shaninu, the Reisha, the first part of the Mishnah, and the second line of the Mishnah, they're discussing the Chasima. And this goes in accord with the opinion of Rav Meir, he, Domer Eide Chasima Karsi. So Rav Meir holds that the signatures have to be done when it is absolutely not attached to the ground. That's the critical part. The Kosav law is talking about the signatures. Now, this is how Reish Lakish says you would understand this within the Shita of Rav Meir. The din is, the first statement of the Mishnah says, Ein Kosim Toref. You're not allowed to write the Toref L'chatchila. You should make sure that everything is written when it's detached because of a gzeiro shema yachtom. If you write the toref, which technically there's nothing wrong with it, it's the chasima that's critical, eide chasima karsi, so as long as the chasima is done when it's detached, it's good. But the rabbi said, in the first line of the Mishnah, don't write the toref, because if you write the toref, you may forget, and also do the chasima when it's attached, and that would be a problem. But, bid the evit, kisavu the toref, if you did, in fact, go against what the rabbi said, and you wrote the toref, then you detached it to Losho, and then Chasamu, and then you signed it in Nosanullah, and you gave it to her, bid the Ebed, it is kosher. So you could learn, Reish Lakish said, like Rav Meir, or as we pointed out, you can learn like Shmuel, Rav Hoshaya, and Rav Yochanan, that it's talking about the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Eidei Mesira Karsi. Okay, Gemara continues and says, what happens if a person wrote the get kisovo al cheres? He writes it on a pot, an earthenware pot, shel otzitz nokuv, which is halachically considered connected to the ground because it has a perforation, a hole at the bottom of the pot, and this pot, by definition, is considered halachically connected to the ground. So if a person were to write a get on this flower pot that has a hole in the bottom, so it's halachically considered like it's attached to the ground, nevertheless, if he then gives that to his wife, that is considered a valid get, because in this situation, the shokel lay v'yohav lo lay nihalah, because he gives her the whole pot. He's not detaching the leaves of the pot. He's giving her the entire pot. And while technically, in Hilchos Shabbos, for example, that might be considered an akira, a detaching from the ground, nevertheless, there is no real action over here in between the ksiva and the nasan law, so therefore it's not considered in regards to Hilchos Gittin as if there's an intervening action, and therefore, as long as it gives her the entire otzitz nakub, which has the get written on it, it is kosher, because the shakil lay, he gives her the entire pot, the yav lay niyala, and he gives it to her. However, if he were to write on a leaf that was attached to this otzitz nakub, a leaf that's attached to this perforated flower pot, al ole shel otzitz nakuv, or one of the leaves of a flower in this flower pot that is perforated at the bottom. So then we have a machlokus between Abaye and Rava. Abaye omar kosher. Abaye says that is a perfectly good get. The Rava omar pasul. Rava says no. There's a potential intervening act called the detachment of this leaf that makes this no good. So we have to understand what we're talking about over here. We're talking about the machlokus between Abaye and Rava here is not, did he or did he not detach the leaf? He still gave her the get, which was written on the leaf, in the entire flower pot. So before we had said, if you wrote the get on the flower pot, then everybody agreed, both Abaye and Rav agreed, that there isn't considered an intervening act. When you give the entire perforated flower pot, that is kosher. Everybody agreed to that, because you picked up the pot, the shokolay, the yovlay, and you gave it to her, ni'alot, to her. And therefore, there is no concern when you're giving her the entire flower pot. That's when it was written on the flower pot. But here we have a machlokas between Abaye and Rava, where you didn't write it on the flower pot itself. You wrote it on a leaf, and you gave her the entire flower pot. And here, even though they all agreed, if you wrote it on the flower pot, you gave her the flower pot, there's no problem, it's kosher. But here, you wrote it on the leaf and gave her the entire flower pot. Now there's a machlokas. Abaye says it's kosher. Rava says it's possible. What's the understanding between Abaye and Rava? So Abaye Amar kosher. Abaye says that even in this situation where you wrote it on the leaf, but you gave her the entire flower pot, so therefore it is a kosher get. Why? We turn to Chof Beis Amud Aleph. Because the bottom line is, the shaku lay, the yoiv lay, niyala. Because bottom line is, you gave her the entire flower pot. You didn't detach anything, as we pointed out. Everybody agrees. If you give her the entire perforated flower pot, that's not considered an intervening act between the kosav and nosan, and it's good. So Abaye says it's good over here too, even though it's written on the leaf, because you're giving her the entire flower pot. Rav Amar, no, we don't allow you to give her the entire flower pot over here with the get written on the leaf, because he says, Rav Amar Pasul Gizeru, we have to be concerned that maybe he won't give her the entire flower pot, Shemo Yiktom. He's going to pluck over here the olas, Rashi says, Bab Yekitsitsa Minam Chuber, and then it will be cutting something from attached to the ground, and there will be an intervening Kitsitsa between the Kosa and the Nasan, and therefore, in this situation, Rava makes a gzeira. We don't allow you to give the entire flower pot with the get written on the leaf, because you may not do that. You may say, giving her the flower pot is good, so detaching the leaf and giving her the leaf is also good. Kamash Malon, Rava makes such a gzeira over here and says, we don't allow that. So that's the understanding, the machlokas between Abaye and Rava. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.